Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
The Bible reading today is Galatians chapter 5, picking it up at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Morning, everybody. If you haven't met me, my name's Adam. I'm part of the team here at Gymea. And if you're visiting with us, I apologise that you're coming in at the very end of a big conversation. We have been looking at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit for the last 6 months. 6 months? Yeah. I'm just going to pop this out of the way, because I won't need that today. Is that okay? Sorry. Just trying to be aware of the cameras, but now I've just, you know, made them very aware. Yeah, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and so for the last 6 weeks, we've been having a bit of a conversation, just digging into what Paul talks about at the end of his letter to the Galatian church on what the fruit of the Spirit is, and so we've been having a bit of a dig. So today, my hope is that we, wrap up. We're going to look at three particular fruits today, and then sort of bring this series to a close as we start to move into, which is very obvious, the season of Christmas. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're together. And I might pray just as we start to dig in. Is that okay? Great. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together. It's good to be in a place where we get to sit and stop and think about things from your perspective. And so today, God, I ask that you will help us to hear the words that you want to say to us specifically. I'm aware, God, that you love to speak to each of us individually, and I ask that you will do that today, and I'm hoping that we have the ears to hear. Amen. As you know, I have come to work here recently, and I am working alongside a man from Canada. It's not without difficulty. This week in particular, I have a jar of lollies up in my office, and I went this week and just in kindness went to offer Mark a lolly, and you said, "Ooh, candy." I was like, "What is that? I don't know what that is." And we had a little bit of a joke about that sounding a little bit American. And then, like, just the other day, we were having a discussion around, like, the concept of loaded fries and, or, you know, chips with gravy on them. And Mark calls it poutine. I don't even know what that is. But it got me thinking as we were sort of, you know, coming towards digging into this last piece of the fruit. I wonder, Mark and I speak a little bit differently at different occasions, and we all do. We all use language differently, and I wondered, is the way that we use words, how does that impact the way that we discover? And so As we look at these last three fruits today, I just want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Just wondering if the way that we use those words impacts the way that we discover about them. So hopefully you can come along with me as we do that. So I did a bit of road testing this week over what does common language mean around these words. And so let's just start with the word faithful. Through conversations, we've sort of realized that we don't really use that word a lot. Faithful isn't sort of this common word that people roll off the tongue quite frequently. However, we occasionally use the word unfaithful, particularly in light of relationships. You know, maybe he was unfaithful to his spouse or she was unfaithful to a spouse or something like that. And somehow we get the definition of faithful that often spills out of the unfaithful, and that faithful being, you know, like loyal and consistent over time. So there's this idea, and I hope that resonates with you a little bit, that as we use the word faithful in our common language, it's this idea of being loyal and consistent over time, but it's quite often used in the context of relationships. Does that sound pretty fair? Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad that the people that I road tested with were effective. Okay, so let's move on to this idea of gentleness. Now, there was a couple of people and they used phrases which I quite liked. My daughter said this morning that she works with little kids at a gymnasium and she says, gentle hands. Someone said to me this week, it's the type of word that I would use if I was instructing a toddler how to pick up a kitten. Someone else said to me this week that, it's tough on stains, gentle on clothes. Gentle is a word that we use to sort of mean soft and calm and you know, it's gentle, it's soft. And so we use that word in sort of this really quite reserved and calm sort of way. Faithful, loyalty and consistency over time, particularly in relationships, gentle, like the way that you would pick up a kitten. And self-control. Self-control is the third fruit that we're going to look at today. Self-control, we don't really use that often as a positive self-control thing. Most people that I spoke to this week suggested that no self-control is the common thing that we say. I've got no self-control when I see a plate of donuts. I've got no self-control when I'm driving in the car and someone cuts me off. I've got no self-control when I'm on the sports field and someone's cranky at me and I'm cranky at them back. I've got no self-control. And sometimes we use the concepts of self-control, but it's always about holding back. It's always about sort of saying, when I'm tempted or when I'm frustrated or when I'm emotional, I'm holding back from doing something. They sound like pretty fair definitions of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I'm glad that sort of resonates. There's an account of Jesus in John's Gospel that I want to share with you. And in light of those three definitions and those common ways that we use these words, I want you to listen in. I believe this story really brings forward and highlights these fruits in this particular story. So if you'll just listen in with me, and I'm just going to read to you from John's Gospel, a story about Jesus. Just see if you can pick up the fruits as we go. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who'd been caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." Did you pick up any of that fruit there? I mean, maybe, like, let's think about faithful. I mean, I guess in the context of that story, maybe I guess the partner of the woman was faithful because she was unfaithful. What about gentleness? Like, I guess Jesus maybe spoke to that woman gently and softly and kindly towards the end of that interaction. What about self-control? Maybe it was the people with the rocks in their hands ready to throw that withheld from throwing their rocks. Now, I do believe that this story about Jesus, this account of Jesus, really exemplifies these three fruit. But I think we need to scoot back to Galatians, to what Paul's talking about as he demonstrates and describes this fruit of the Spirit, and think about the words that he used and how he used them that will help us understand a little bit more of what he was actually trying to say. So let's dig into Paul in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness and good and gentleness and self-control. So faithfulness, Paul uses the word faith. The specific word he uses is the word faith. And I guess it's translated into the context to say faithfulness. But that word faith is understood to be trust and belief. Trust and belief, but more so, that trust and belief is something that comes from God to us. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself, so that no one can boast. Faith is given to us. And I guess what faith seems to mean from Paul's perspective, it's like being persuaded by the divine to think and act in God's way. It's this trust that God's way is a better way, and faith is coming to believe that God's way is best. And this is how Paul was trying to communicate faithfulness to us. That faithfulness, or faith, is trust and belief that God's way is the best way, and that that would become a part of us, and that would live through us. Gentleness. Paul's use of the word gentleness is far opposite from the way that we think about picking up a kitten. Gentleness being this sense of reserved and internal strength. It's a strong word, gentleness, as Paul uses it. Another way to translate it is the word meekness. But even then, we use meekness to sort of mean sort of, you know, a little bit standoffish and a little bit back and a little bit small and a little bit shy. But as Paul says the word gentle and gentleness, he's saying this is a strong word. This is an internal strength. Again, something that's given by God to us. Very specifically, this gentleness is given by God to us to have an internal strength that is reserved and well held. Very different from the gentleness that we commonly use. Similarly, self-control, the way that Paul uses it, the word that he uses, seems to bring out this idea of mastery of self. It's a mastery of self that actually leans you towards doing things God's way. And if you think about the way that we use self-control, is it's the holding back, right? It's I'm holding back, I'm not going to eat the donuts, I'm not going to break something on the platform. It's holding back from doing something that you're wanting to do. However, Paul was trying to communicate with us that self-control is not holding back, it's actually stepping forwards into the important things and the way that God would have us live. It's mastering the self towards something. So faithfulness, this idea of consistency and loyalty over time, but Paul's saying, no, this is about trust and belief and being persuaded to think God's way. It's not, gentleness is not calm and reserved and back, it's forwards and internal strength. And self-control isn't holding back and not doing something that we're passionate about doing. It's stepping forward into God's things and mastering ourselves towards something. This is the way that Paul wanted to communicate these words to us. This is the way that Paul wanted to communicate this idea of fruitfulness, that the fruit that is built into us and through us through God's Holy Spirit brings us towards thinking and trusting and believing in His way. It brings us towards having an internal strength when we need it from Him and being able to master ourselves towards the things that God would have us to do. So in light of that definition, let's have a look at that story again. Let's have a look at that account of Jesus. And I want you to think about that fruit from Paul's perspective. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him and they sat to teach them. He sat to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." Did you hear anything different that time? I heard the posture of Jesus more so than anyone else in the story. That in the midst of what I imagine was an intense moment with a lot of people and a lot of noise and a lot of complexity pushing towards him specifically, he stops and he thinks about a different question and he offers that different question and then he waits. When I think about the way that Jesus was faithful in that moment in displaying faith, he was aware of God's ways. Which is, I think, why he may have changed the question, because there was a better question to ask in that circumstance. There was a question that was more related to the way that God thinks. Jesus was convinced of God's way. And so he speaks that out. An absolute mastery of self to be able to stop in the midst of that flurry and wait. But the stopping wasn't stopping and walking away from something. He was stopping and I imagine stood still on the ground because he was waiting for people, because he was moving towards this sense of what God was asking him to do. This is the question and this is the one that should be answered at this moment. Because it pertained to everyone in the room, in the space. And that sense of gentleness, that internal strength to be able to with resolve, stand and wait and be still in the midst of all that was going on. Thinking God's way, postured towards Him, and internal strength to be able to hold ground. And the way that he speaks to that woman when everyone else leaves invites an opportunity for her. I imagine that would have been such an intense experience, but to have been given such kindness and love from Jesus, the opportunity for her to go away and truly have a life that was changed. We don't know what happened to that lady, but she had an opportunity that Jesus clearly gave her, and I probably actually gave to everyone else in the crowd, to be changed and to be different. Jesus, profound and strong and calm and considered, aligned with God's justice and aligned with God's mercy for everybody. I don't know about you, but man, that's the way that I want to live, particularly in circumstances that come around me that are intense and that are threatening. The ability for me to, receive from God the idea that I can trust in His way, that strength would grow within me from Him, and that I could have mastery from Him to go His way and do His things His way. I just find it interesting that sometimes we need to look at things through a different discoverable lens rather than the way we normally think about things, but to dive in and see the way that God thinks. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been playing and toying with this idea that the fruits of the Spirit have acts. We can do things towards that, even though the fruit itself is the Holy Spirit's fruit that He gives to us. Are there acts that we can do that contribute towards, a readiness? And I think when it comes to faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, I guess what kept impressing on me this week is, particularly when it comes to knowing and understanding and moving towards God's ways, is this idea that getting to know Jesus is helpful. I think that's pretty core. If you're desiring to live in such a way that the Holy Spirit can work through you towards others, that's a really core thing to do first, is to get to understand who Jesus is, to meet Jesus more and more and more. And I think the second thing would be to create the conditions of calm. I don't know about you, but sometimes, we all find ourselves in circumstances that are busy and big and noisy, and we tend to move towards reacting. All I can do right this moment is I'm stressed or I'm overwhelmed and I just react. And I'm assuming that me, like you, we attempt with everything that we can to find a place of calm. Take a little bit of a step back for a second and take a breath or do some breathing exercises or whatever it is that you do for your own mental well-being to try and find that place where your brain can turn back on and you can start to think. And I think it's when you can take that little breath and start to think again, it's when you can start to create the conditions where you're saying, I want to go your way, God. I want to go your way. When I'm reacting in a moment, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just reacting out of whatever's in me. But if I can take a calm breath for a moment, I can start to ask myself the question, God, what do you want in this circumstance? What are you thinking? How can I live your way? I think there's some of the things that we can do, to create the conditions for change and for growth in us. Even yesterday, Margie, are you here in the room at all? No, she's not here. She's outside somewhere. Margie yesterday was leading us in this elaborate setup of Christmas. And as we began the day, we stood around for a little bit of an induction, which was all wonderful, like safe church. Like, this was banging. This was really cool. But the way that Margie sort of led us was that she said, today we're setting up lights. Today we're making craft. Today we're doing some things. But as you do, think about this from perhaps a different perspective. Think about this from the perspective that someone inevitably is going to come through our building or walk outside our building at some time at night time and have a look at some lights and potentially be impacted by the stories and the threads that are out there. Think about that as you hang a light today. Instead of just hanging a light, you're thinking about something greater and bigger. And I thought that was really beautiful, and I think it pertains to this conversation of finding a place where, in the flurry of things, you can shift your perspective just a little bit. And I think that creates the conditions for which God's Holy Spirit can come into your space and shape and change you towards His ways. So faithfulness and gentleness and self-control are very specifically given to us by God, by the Holy Spirit through His resources to us. And our key is to help create the conditions in our world, in our internal world, for growth. and actively choosing to see things from God's perspective instead of from ours. And I think that's been the same as we've traveled all through this series, that we've been discussing this idea of, you know, like, is love, our love and God's love the same? Is our joy and God's joy the same? Are the fruits things that we can do, or are they just God's things? And we've really tried to clearly communicate that the fruit and the fruitfulness is God's. It's the Holy Spirit's work amongst us for others. I mean, we talked on the very first week that we jumped into the series of this idea of remaining in. Jesus says, remain in me, remain in the vine, connected. And in John's gospel, Jesus says that the purpose of bearing much fruit is for God's glory. Because fruit is a demonstration of God's plans and his purposes. So we're called to remain in him, to remain connected. And we do that in some part by remembering what God's done and anticipating what he's going to do. And we talked quite extensively around this idea that as the fruit is the Holy Spirit's, the acts of the Spirit are quite obvious. They're not unfamiliar to us. However, it's really important that we remain connected to the author so that we understand how those things work. So it's not unobvious that we can know how to love. But the more that we get to know Jesus and the more that we sit closer in relationship with God and remain connected is where things start to work together. There's acts that lead to fruit. And I think Paul, in summary, in Galatians chapter 5, he just spells it out for us. And he says, since we live by the Spirit, let's walk in step with the Spirit. This is a core message that Paul wants to share with us. Let's walk in step with the Spirit. We talked about some imagery of sort of, you know, walking in the footsteps of and walking behind and following the leader. And the language that Paul uses here in Galatians chapter 5, it sort of builds out. It's not just about me, but it's about us. So it's not just about me as an individual walking in the footsteps of Jesus, walking in the footsteps of the way that God wants me to live. It's about us. The language that Paul uses is like a military lineup of all of us, in line with each other, forwards and backwards, all following in the footsteps, walking in step and walking in time. And I think that's just a beautiful picture that it's not just about me, but it's about us. I love that. I love it, because I think what happens then is that as I get to know Jesus, as I get to know God and God's Holy Spirit starts working through me, because the fruitfulness is for others. It's not for me, it's for someone else. My job is to remain connected. And as I remain connected, God's Holy Spirit starts working through me out into the world. So the very plans and the very purposes and the very nature of who God is works through me towards somebody else. That's intense. I find that really intense. That I could be a part of what God's doing in the world. But at the same time, walking alongside me and with me, in unison with me, is us. That together, we're walking in step with the Spirit because we live by the Spirit. And as we try to do that, God in his grace, through his Spirit, gives us the trust and the belief. Gives us the internal strength to walk his way. And in doing so, fruit goes out to others. I love that. That in itself sort of makes me want to be a part of this. But I'm wondering, we've talked a lot about the what's, but I want to talk a little bit about why. And a question that I've got for us to reflect on, and I hope that you can reflect with me. I'm wondering if you can think about yourself for a sec. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've felt a divine presence, where you've felt God in and a part of your world or your experience. But that's come off the back of someone else. The influence or the words or a gift or an action of another person. Has someone done something or said something or given something to you at some point in your life where you've recognized that as almost God himself? Do you remember that? I'm wondering, is, like, I know definitely for me, could you raise your hand and just sort of, has that happened to you? How cool is that? Keep your hand there, but just be brave enough to just take a look around the room, because I can see everybody. But just take a look at those the hands that are here in this room. This is a group of people who God has met through the actions of another person. And perhaps, similarly to that lady in that moment with Jesus, where he says, go and sin no more. The opportunity for her to have a life transformed. I would say in this room there are a number of transformed lives because the Holy Spirit worked through a person towards you and you recognized it as God. And hopefully your life shifted and changed because of that. That's why. For me, that's why. The opportunity that we could possibly have of being God's hands and feet in the world for the benefit of his people and for the growth of his kingdom. Paul at the end of Galatians brings together all of these ideas. He's speaking to the Galatian church about a lot of issues and a lot of complexity that was happening in their church at the time. But in Galatians 6:10, he says, therefore, since we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially the believers in the church. I just want to draw your attention to just a few words in that sentence. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we have an opportunity to do good to all. With God's backing and the Holy Spirit's empowering towards his people. And that's something that I pray that we can consider as we've discovered over this last couple of weeks. About what that means for you and the way that you walk out of here today, the stories that you share, who you try to get to know, and the way that you think about God's plans and purposes in the world. I invite the band back up, and will you pray with me as we conclude today? God, I just want to first of all say thank you that your first invitation to us is for relationship, that we abide in you, that we remain connected to you. I want to thank you for that invitation because it's a gift that you've given to us that's not because of anything that we've done, it's because you love us. And God, we are grateful for the impact and the work of your Holy Spirit in and amongst our lives to help to shape us into people who carry your very message into the world. Help us to walk in step as we live by your Spirit. Remind us to walk in step with your Spirit, to get to know you in relationship and be a part of what you're doing in the world. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.